All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
You're listening to Just Another Fanboy, and frankly, that's about all the information I am prepared to release at this point in time. Listener discretion is advised, I guess. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of Just Another Fanboy. I'm your host, my name is Steven, and yeah, I know, it's been a while, but I wanted to try something this week that, well, I'm trying to explain it. All right, so some of you may or may not know that at some point in time, a number of years back, I wrote a couple of books, and frankly, I feel like I might have another book in me, but something that I always wanted to do if I ever got back into writing, I wanted to do a podcast called Steven Writes Stuff, which would be a fiction podcast in which I would share my stories with you one chapter at a time. Now, I made an attempt at this a number of years back when I was playing around with Acast. Acast, if you're not aware, is a podcast hosting service that, well, now it's owned by Spotify, but before, back then, when I was playing around with it, it was... They were their own thing, and they kind of plugged themselves as like this, the one place for the podcaster to do everything. Record your podcast, edit your podcast. They had music you could use to put in the podcast, and then you could release it across all the other podcast apps. And you could do it all just through Acast, and it was all free. Their plan at the time was to make their money when you did, because they would provide you with advertising opportunities once you hit certain goals. But then it got bought out by Spotify. But before then, before I got bought out, I was playing around with it. I gave it a try, and I produced 5 episodes for a show that I had at the time. I was calling Story or Else, and it was for a short story that I had written that was called The Other Gunfight. Now, I've listened to these episodes since then. I just listened to them earlier today. And yeah, they're not great. I mean, I've learned so much more about podcasting and recording and mic technique and all that junk since I recorded these 5 episodes. But I wanted to put them out there for you anyway, just so you can give them a listen and tell me yes or no, should I continue with more audio fiction? But yeah, 5 episodes, 5 chapters. It's the entire story, and I thought I'd release them here each day this week, Monday through Friday. Anyway, I hope you like it. Here is chapter 1 of 5 of The Other Gunfight. Enjoy!
The Other Gunfight, Chapter 1, Wyatt Earp. The smell of horse dung clung to everything. It was like a swarm of ants on a sugar cube, and I could taste it with each breath. Even my horse wrinkled his nose in disgust at the reek that lingered in the air around us. I tried to ignore it, but the stench coming off of Tombstone, Arizona was hard to dismiss. It's not that Tombstone smelled worse than any other town. That's just how it was out here. Horses were everywhere, and they defecate where they please, so you're going to have to put up with the smell if you want to make it in the West. But hey, at least it ain't New York City. Now that is a city that stinks. Heck, there are some areas in New York that smell like an outhouse in July. No thanks. Give me the smell of horse and the wide open spaces any day. I eased up to the hitching rail outside the nearest saloon, Hafford's, hoping that the taste of whiskey might make up for the odor. I tied off the horse, grabbed up my saddlebags, threw them over her shoulder, and stepped into the saloon. Tombstone was supposed to be booming, and it certainly seemed to be, but as I strode into Hafford's, I found it all but empty.
That is, apart from me and the barkeep, he was too busy wiping down the top of the bar to pay me much attention. "How do?" I said, touching the brim of my hat as I cozied up to the bar. I didn't need to worry that the man might recognize me. I'd aged a bit and grown a beard. Besides, once I died, the papers had stopped writing about me. The dime novels were still in full production, but they never could get anything right. More fiction than fact, they were almost as bad as the newspapers.
"What'll it be?"
the barkeep said. He was an older gentleman, gray and stooped. What little hair he had on his head had gathered mostly around the ears, leaving the sun to bounce gentle beams of light from off the top of his bald pate. His face more than made up for the lack of hair on his head. Both his eyebrows and mustache had grown so long and bushy that all I could see of the man's face was a nose and chin that stuck out through a forest of gray. "Whiskey," I said, slapping three large coins onto the worn but clean bar top. "The good stuff, not the watered-down piss you give your regulars." I'd never been in this particular saloon before in my life, but I've been in plenty, and if there's one thing I know, it's that every single one of them keeps two types of whiskey behind the bar. The whiskey they've watered down and the whiskey that they have not. The former they serve to the endless mob of regulars who come in each night. Miners, cowhands, teamsters, and such. The latter they keep on hand for the folks who are willing to pay a little extra for a bit of the real thing. Folks like me. He didn't move. It was hard to tell through the eyebrows, but I could sense when a man glared at me. Not that I blamed him, I was rather choice with the words I'd use to describe his whiskey. Some bartenders tend to take stuff like that a bit personally. So, to show the man I wasn't the kind of fella to be taken too seriously, I flashed him one of my best smiles. The barkeep only shook his head a time or two before tossing the rag aside long enough to bang a shot glass down in front of me. He was silent as he filled the glass from an old dusty bottle. He just continued to stare me down through those bushes over his eyes. I threw the whiskey down my throat in one quick gulp, grimacing in sick satisfaction as it burned its way down my gullet. "That's a mighty fine whiskey," I said. "I'll take the bottle." I slid a couple of folded bills across the bar top. "And some information."
"What kind of information you looking for?"
the bartender said, setting the bottle down in front of me. I snatched up the bottle and pulled out the cork with an audible squeak and pop. "I'm looking for a man," I said. "Goes by the name of Claiborne, Billy Claiborne." I poured myself another shot. "He been in today?"
"He's one of them cowboys," he said, spitting out the last word like an insult. "What business you got with him?"
"Well now," I said, "that would be my business, wouldn't it?" I downed the shot.
"Well, he ain't here," the bartender said. "And today ain't a good day to go looking for him, neither."
"He comes in here, though," I said. It wasn't a question.
"Sure, from time to time."
"Well," I said, then threw back another shot. "I got nowhere to be for a bit." I pulled my pocket watch and checked the time. If I'd arrived when I should have, then I had less than 30 minutes. There was a clock on the wall above the bar. It was 3 minutes behind mine. "I'll wait."
"Suit yourself,"
said the man. He went back to wiping down the bar top. I took the glass and the bottle and found a table near the back. Before I sat, however, I turned back to the barkeep. "I'm sorry, but would you be able to tell me what today is?" I asked.
"Wednesday."
He frowned, though he didn't look up from his task. He was clearly growing tired of me. "Wednesday," I said. "And the date?" He sighed.
"The 26th.
"Wednesday the 26th, I said. "And so that would make it what, September? The man stopped, looked up, and threw the rag down.
"October,"
he said, his mustache blowing out with the force of the word. "Wednesday, October the 26th, I said. "Thank you, sir. You've been mighty kind." I sat, and the man went back to his task. I threw back another shot. "I'm sorry," I said. "Just one more question." Once again, the man threw the rag back onto the bar, but with a bit more force than last time.
"Yes,"
he said. "It is 1881, correct?" That question he did not answer. He eyed me a bit through that long gray hedge that hung from his brow, frowned, took up the rag, and turned his back on me. I took it for a yes, which meant that I was where, and most importantly, when I wanted to be. Everything was going according to plan. 10 minutes and three more shots later, a man walked into the saloon. He was tall and dressed in a black coat over a white shirt with a string cravat. His hat was black and so was the mustache, which was clean, trim, and full. He had a presence about him, something I'd sensed the moment he'd walked into the saloon. This was a fellow who could take care of himself and did not suffer fools. You could see it in his face and the way he carried himself. The man wore a gun on his hip. It wasn't uncommon to see a man go about healed, but Tombstone had a rule about carrying firearms within city limits. I knew this fact because I'd noticed the sign as I rode in.
And like the law-abiding fella that I am, I went straight to the local constabulary to hand over my guns. Not all of them, mind you. What guns I turned over were just my decoy guns. I had a pair of pistols and gun belts in my saddlebags, which now sat on the floor next to my chair. The fella in black, however, he wore his gun in plain sight, and I didn't see a badge on his chest. I knew who he was the moment he'd walked through the door. I'd been briefed in full before I'd arrived in town. The man gave me a long and considered look, his dark eyes prodding at me like something tangible. I nodded to him, and he nodded back. He dismissed me and pulled out a chair at a table near the door. He didn't sit right away. He placed the gun on the table, a heavy revolver making a low clunking sound as it connected with the wood. Then he sat, his pistol within easy reach. "Your usual Wyatt?" the bartender asked. "Mmm," was the man's only reply. The man, Wyatt, sat to the side of the table and kicked one of his booted feet up onto a chair across from him and looked out onto the street beyond the double batwing doors. The bartender bustled around the bar with a coffee and a delicate cup and saucer and placed them on the table next to the pistol. "Thanks, Clem," Wyatt said. "How about one of them cigars?" He pronounced it cigars.
"Sure, Wyatt,"
the bartender said, and fetched him one.
"Is there going to be a fight, Wyatt?"
Clem asked. "I'm afraid there must be," Wyatt said, and then lit his cigar with a wooden match. Clem took a step away, hesitated for a moment, then turned back as Wyatt puffed stoically.
"Do you need any help?"
"No thanks, Clem," Wyatt said with a slight smile. I had to bite my lip to keep my own grin from showing. Of course there was going to be a fight. They'd be talking about it for the next 3 centuries. But that wasn't why I was here. A fight was going to happen, sure enough. People were going to die. My job was to make sure it was the right people. To be continued.
There you go, folks. That was chapter one of The Other Gunfight, written by me. My name is Steven. Full disclosure, this story began as one scene. It was something that I had to write as an assignment for a creative writing course that I took many, many years ago. And while I can't quite remember the assignment exactly, I know that it was a very short story. I think it was 500 to 1,000 words. And I believe it was something to the effect that you had to write a story about somebody who was overhearing another conversation. And what could you do with that? And so I took a scene out of a movie. It's called Wyatt Earp. It's got Kevin Costner in it. And in fact, I think the scene that I took was, it's the one that opens the movie. And then the movie goes back in time. And then they eventually get back to the scene. And it's the scene where Wyatt is sitting in a saloon. He's in Tombstone. And it's minutes before the big gunfight, the gunfight at the OK Corral. And at one point, his brothers, Virgil and Morgan, they come in to get him, and then they all three leave to go out and make their mark on history. But my original story, which again was very short, it was basically my character. I had placed them in that same saloon at the same time, and he overhears this conversation, and he may have even been in town to meet up with one of the guys that participated in the gunfight on the other side, one of the guys that didn't survive. And so when he hears what's going on, he waits until Wyatt and his brothers leave, and then he gets the hell out of Dodge or Tombstone. Somehow that morphed into, well, you've only heard the first chapter so far, and I'm not going to give anything away. You'll have to come back tomorrow for the next chapter, and then the rest of the week for the other chapters. So yeah, come back tomorrow to get chapter number two of The Other Gunfight. And I hope you're liking them. I do. I sound really needy right now, and I don't know why. But until then, folks, I'm going to wrap this up, all right? Be nice to each other. I don't know if there's anything else to say beyond that. Bye! I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Just Another Fanboy. Questions and comments can be directed to justanotherfanboy@gmail.com, or you can find me at all the regular social media hangouts by searching for @StephenOrElse. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. I also invite you to join our subscription program, Stephen or Else Beyond. And in return, you'll get episodes of Just Another Fanboy along with every other show under the Stephen or Else Media umbrella early and ad-free. Check out the link in the show notes or go to beyond.stephenorelse.com to start your free trial today. Just Another Fanboy is a presentation of Stephen or Else Media. For more nerdy content hosted by me, check out somanypodcasts.com. All links will be in the show notes.
I just don't think I can move through life knowing that a guy named Steven did this to me.
How could you let this happen, Steven?
Steven! Thank God. I had a horrible feeling I was going to be the only one here.
There's always next time, Steven.
It all ends now.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.